Good afternoon and happy new year. Welcome everyone to this first meeting of the year. This is the Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting. Today is Tuesday, January 2nd, 2024. We are holding the meeting on a Tuesday because yesterday was a Monday and a holiday. And as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded. The meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. Just sharing a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everyone who has joined through the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise and or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will help us because then we know that somebody's trying to make a comment and we can have one speaker at a time. At this time, everyone should be on mute. I would request everyone to please stay on mute unless speaking because it helps us eliminate any external noise. And we can clearly hear the speaker when whoever is speaking at the time.
Anu, a quick question. Is there a RAC committee meeting tomorrow, which is the first Wednesday of the month?
I can check that and let you know. I
Thank
can.
you.
Sure, no
Until
problem.
Patrick, so he shows up.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm muting myself.
All right, thank you. And as you know, we do have two American Sign Language interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request for you to please state your name before speaking because it helps them in doing their job. It also helps everyone who is listening on the phone calls knowing who the speaker is. And when people listen to the audio afterwards, it helps them in knowing who the speaker was at the time. So thank you for that. Chair Sheehan, I can go through reading the agenda and then I can go through the roll call of for the committee members. If you concur. Yes. Okay, I would say take that as a yes. Whoops, excuse me. Let me pull up my agenda. Okay, for some reason, my document is having some difficulty. Okay, what I would do is I would go through the roll call and then I'll come back to the agenda. When I call out your name, AAC members, please confirm your presence. Azar Atura.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles,
Present.
Rico Dancy, I do know that
Present.
who is connected with us. Okay. Tawan Farmer,
Present.
thank you. Okay, I seem to be having some technical issues here. Apologies.
Good evening, Anu. This is Carol Lopez.
Hi,
Would you
Carol.
like me to share my screen
Well, it's
with
the
the agenda?
sure.
Or would you like me to read
Well, I can read the.
Oh, Anu, this is Debbie Fisher, and I'm here. And I
Okay,
come
thank
after
you.
Tawan.
Thank you.
And Marcy comes after me.
thank you. Well, thank you both. Let me, Carol, I will take you up for sharing the screen. And I,
Unfortunately cannot
oh, you
somehow.
can. Okay, no worries. No worries. I have another document open now. So let
Thank
me
you.
Apologies, everyone, but I'm going to have to go back to the agenda before I can go continue with the roll call. So I would share my screen and I will read the agenda out loud. Okay, so we started the meeting and we will continue with the roll call after I finish reading the agenda. We have a committee discussion for a very important topic, which is WMATA budget fiscal year 2025. Talking points as the committee does every year. 6:15, we will take any public comments. At 6:30, the AAC bylaws work group and the entire committee will discuss AAC bylaws, followed by the bus and rail subcommittee report and the Metro Access subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m.
Excuse me, you didn't finish the roll call. This is Philippa.
I did not, Philippa. Yes, that's what I'm saying, that I would have to come back to finishing the roll call.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Bye.
No, you're fine. Thank you. All right, so I will stop sharing my screen now, and hopefully I can have my roster again. Microsoft Word seems to be having some issues. All right, give me one moment. If I cannot pull it up at this point, then I would, we will just come back instead of wasting any time. I would just come back to it later. I'll try it one more time. Okay, Chair Sheehan, if you don't mind, we can complete the roll call afterwards, because I seem to be having issues with my documents here. Patrick, could you unmute yourself, please?
Anu, you can go on and continue with the meeting. This is Ms. Rush.
Okay, Ms. Rush. Patrick is connected. He either cannot hear me or he's
I'm sorry.
Okay, he's unmuted. Yeah. Perfect.
All right, very good. Yeah. Sorry about that. We're doing great tonight, Anu, between our technical difficulties here. let's see. We'll do approval of the agenda. Approval of minutes and approval of board reports. Do I have any additions or corrections to the agenda? If not, I'd like to take a motion to approve. Thank you, Paul.
Moved.
Second, we have?
Second.
Very I second. Good.
Thank you. Are there any nay votes on the agenda? If not, the agenda we will consider the agenda as approved. Thank you. Well, the agenda is approved. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes?
I say we move the minutes as is.
All right. Do I have a second?
I second it.
Very good. Do I have any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No.
Hearing none. Are there any nay votes to approving the minutes? If not, I'll take the minutes as approved. Very good. Thank you. And the board report. Do we have any additions or corrections?
Audio now unmuted.
To the board report. Do I have...
I see we may have some amendments to it based on our discussion today in terms of talking points. So maybe we may want to amend it with some of those highlights as needed.
Very good. As needed. Very good, Paul. Thank you for that. I was just going to go there. With Paul's comments, any other additions to or corrections to the board report? If not, we will... let's see. Do I have any nay votes for approving the board report? If not, we will consider that report approved, pending any more developments on our meeting tonight. So we've got two substantial topics, I think, that we need to get through. I think that I also indicated earlier that we have been asked to move along the bylaws and make a bit good progress as much as we can in the next couple of months. But before we get there, we want to talk about the upcoming budget situation that we have. And we want to go over what we could consider to be talking points that we could all agree on moving forward. I think that it's extremely important that we understand what the docket is all about, and that that we go in with some focused talking points that are going to speak directly to the big picture of where we are here. There's a lot of things we need to improve in WMATA, but this is a chance to try to get our points focused and our needs met. I don't know, Mr. Blank, you gave us a very impassioned speech at the Metro Access Subcommittee. Is there anything that you would like to add before I sort of go to the committee and ask for people to speak on the points?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think I have anything further to add. I'll just say fully funded Metro. That should be part of the talking points. I would just advise or recommend it. But I'm here to answer any specific questions about Metro Access you or members of the committee or the public may have. And I'll sit back and listen to your discussions with the members and your development of some key talking points ahead of the public hearing.
Very good. Thank you, sir. So if I understand my facts, big facts properly, we're $750 million short. As I see it, we have approximately $150 million, which has been promised by Maryland to help us with this shortfall. But we don't hear anything from D.C. I haven't. And we don't hear anything from Virginia as far as absolute money coming in. So we're down to $600 million, at least in my calculations. What I find interesting on the Virginia side, and I guess I should know this, but I don't think I've been aware of it in so much in the past, is that in Virginia, the money will be coming in from the jurisdictions, of which there are six. And so it's not as easy as what we have in Maryland, Secretary of Transportation, Paul Wiedefeld, could say, here's your $150 million. I'm not quite sure what's going on in D.C., but I find that the getting the money from the jurisdictions and the timing of that money is going to be key in Virginia. And I think it leaves us in a bit of a problem. Where I think we have an issue, even if you're looking at $600 million, anything that they cut from the overall WMATA service area, you're going to see corresponding cuts in disability services. And we're going to feel them very dramatically, I think, in Metro Access. So, we've all heard, I think, that you can have up to 9,000 people who could be affected and drop from Metro Access. That's a significant amount. There could be some retracting of the area so that you're meeting the ADA specifications as defined. And they could also cut some routes, which would mean that hours of operation for Metro Access in some areas could see some holes in it. And that would also apply to abilities, Ryan. I think the other minor areas are that you wouldn't have any more preferences about what vehicle is going to pick you up. There'd be more ride sharing, particularly on paratransit vehicles. So you're looking at a significant budget or change, whatever. And so, Mr. Blank, did I essentially get those facts correct?
Yes, essentially, but let me just make one little clarification. Sure. When we say when we're talking about the 9,000 people, let's keep in mind, and the way we want to say it is that not that they will be cut off of Metro access, because theoretically, they'll still be Metro access eligible customers. I think the term or the terminology we want to use is that they would lose direct access to Metro access for either pickups or drop-offs that they're currently using, meaning if their home is now outside the service area, they still can use Metro access service, but they would have to come into the service area in order for us to then transport them. So they wouldn't be cut off of Metro access. They'll be losing direct service to Metro access from their pickup and drop-off location.
Very good. That's an excellent correction to what I said, sir. That's much more accurate, and that's good. I think, Denise, you and I spoke over the last couple of days concerning some of these issues. Do you want to sort of review what we talked about? What are your thoughts going forward on this? And then we can open up to the committee. One thing that I would say is I think one talking point that we all need to have is a fully funded Metro system. If we get that, then we don't have any of these draconian cuts. If we don't get it, we will be experiencing these cuts. So I think that's number one that we need to agree on. Go ahead, Denise.
This is Ms. Rush. I understand. I think I understand what you are saying, Mr. Blake. My number one concern that I want to hear from you is that if we get the funding, will Metro Access Service Area be cut back regardless? And is that a confirmation it will or it will not be cut back? But if it is cut back to just the ADA required service area, when are the people who are affected by this, the 9,000 who are affected by this service, going to be notified? Because it's going to be July 1 when it starts, I think. And then the hearings aren't until March. So February, they got to have notice the people who are going to be affected, because it affects them going to dialysis, it affects them going to church, going to work, it affects them in many different areas. And you can't snap, find somewhere to go or how to get there. You don't have options like people who are going to have reduction in rail or bus. They can get in their car and drive. These people, you know, the disability community cannot have that option. It is almost like life threatening. So
you have two great questions. The first question I think is a very important question, and I think it goes to what the committee members and the disability community in general should also mention. You asked, well, if we get the money, will the Metro Access Service Area be reduced anyway? That is not my understanding. My understanding is that fully funded Metro means Metro Access will continue largely the way it has been successfully over the past 5 years. But I think the point you're making, with not that certainty or promise written in stone anywhere, I think that should also be part of any advocacy that the AAC and disability community stakeholders present during the public hearings. I think that's a very important point. But again, my understanding and the way I've been articulating to and from my colleagues and those above and beyond me, If there's a fully funded metro, metro access largely stays the same. If there's not, there'll be that's why I've been using the term corresponding reductions, that the metro access changes should only correspond to changes with fixed route services. But I think that's a very, very important and fair point that should be part of your discussions. Now, the other very important question is a very key question is timing of notification. We're trying through you all and through our public outreach efforts notify the public of the potential changes. As Mr. Chairman described them, the draconian cuts. We're doing our part to notify the public of what can come out. The general manager has been on television, has been in meetings, and it's been written about. But for me to, let's say, call Denise Rush and say, Denise Rush, as of July 1st, your home will no longer be in the service area. Unfortunately, I'm not able to do that until the budget is absolutely finalized. And I don't think that occurs until the first week or second week in April. Now, again, we're going to continue to share with the public what can happen and how individuals can be impacted, but I will not have certainty on anybody's availability for service until the final budget is passed.
And that, April's too late.
Ms. Rush, if I tell you today that your service is going to be cut, I could tell you that, then you go and get a new dialysis facility or a new primary care doctor or a new job or anything, yes. But then come July, because the budget was not cut dramatically, well, you're not out of the, see, that's the challenge. It's the process. And unfortunately, that's the timing of the process. As soon as we know for sure that something's going to occur, we're going to let the customers know. But in terms of the overall budget, I don't think the overall budget is voted on until the first or second week in April, and that's when we'll have absolute certainty.
Well, like you have on record that you've told us that, I want it on record that I told you that is not acceptable timing, that when people's lives, you used to lose a job on Monday and then find another job next Monday. That's not the world anymore. So if you lose transportation or you lose your job or a dialysis center, whatever it is that you lose, it's not a month's time. April, May, June, 2 months is not enough time for that drastic change in your life. Thank you.
And one follow-up question to what Denise is saying. This is Pat. At the hearings, or at least in the hearings that I've been in the past, they have come up with specific, you know, bus routes that are going to be changed, bus routes that are going to be eliminated, so that people knew that they needed to come and advocate for their particular bus route. Correct. You know, a third of the buses going away isn't going to help us if we don't know what those third of the bus routes are going to be.
Correct. Yeah. And you're right. And those, as my colleagues who came at this meeting last month, I think they were general in some of the bus routes that they were talking about. But absolutely, the public hearing notice will lay out all the very specific routes that will be that are proposed to be eliminated without a fully funded metro, and there will be a possible metro access service area map as well.
Okay, all right, that will be helpful. Okay, so thank you, sir. Committee members, so we know point one is going to be a fully funded metro. Questions for any of us, Mr. Blake, or anyone that can answer the questions? Chair, what do you think the talking point should be? Yes, go ahead, Anu. Thank you.
So we have three members with their hands up in this order, Dr. Posner, followed by Thomas Mangrum, followed by Debbie Fisher. And okay, we will take the comments from the members of the AAC at this point.
Right. Thank you. Dr. Posner, you're up first.
Yes, thank you. Let me be Ansel Torres for a moment and explain to the committee what the budget process is. First of all, the hearings that are going to come are based on a worst case scenario. And it will be that what you have just discussed, routes will be reduced, both bus and rail.
Alda alert, audio now unmuted.
I'm sorry, can people hear me?
We can. Vanessa, if you would please mute yourself, thank you.
All right, so we know in a worst case scenario, there will probably be bus and rail routes eliminated. But that's not the case until you know specifics. And so what will happen if the funding does not come in from the feds and from the jurisdictions? Then some reductions will have to be proposed. And so there will be a reduction in the funding silo to bus, the funding silo to rail, the funding silo to maintenance and projects, and the funding silo to Mr. Blake and Metro Access. It will then be up to the directors of those particular silos, bus, rail, Metro Access, to decide what they can do with the amount of money they are given. And so nobody knows what bus routes will be reduced until the person in charge of bus routes knows what their budget is. Nobody knows what rail stops will be eliminated until the person in charge of rail knows what their budget is. And the same is true for Metro Access. And the other thing is, at that point, when they know how much total funding they have, they can manipulate their own budgets. Now, if it turns out that the reduction in bus routes, bus stops, number of bus stops, number of hours they run, same with rail, is sufficient to get a balanced budget, Mr. Blake and Metro Access may have enough money to actually maintain the service area. Because if you look at the budget and you look at the graph that we tell you about every time, and you all have a copy of it, the amount of money in the budget that goes to bus and rail is gigantic. The amount of money relative to that that goes to Metro Access is minuscule. And so, again, it may be possible to maintain the area if Mr. Blake has sufficient money and they tell him what has to be cut. Because a 10% cut to Metro Access would not pay for one new 8,000 car, rail car. So that's what I'm trying to say to you. The other thing is, when you talk to your legislators, talk to your senators, there are big elections coming up. Tell them 9,000 votes are going to be affected by federal funding. Talk to your state legislators. 9,000 votes are going to be affected in that area. So hit your state, your DC, and your Maryland legislators, and your local county legislators, and explain how many votes are involved. And at the level of the state and the feds, this is a wonderful time. I can tell you how many emails I get a day reminding me that the other party is trying to take over the House or the Senate. And that's true in Virginia. That's true in Maryland. That's true nationally. And for the Maryland people, you're going to have two new senators this year at the federal level and more at the state level. So that's what you want to do. So understand the budget process. And what you need to know is you are asking for maintained service for metro access and safety. And the other people will be lobbying, and you will have help. You'll have help from people that don't use metro access that are going to lose their bus stop, that students are going to lose their bus stop, hospital workers are going to lose their bus stop. So what you have to understand is the final decisions are going to be made after the budget is passed, because all they have to do is balance the budget. And they're going to say, well, we're going to take some money from Metro Access and ADAP services. We're going to take some money from bus, some from rail, from elevators, some from escalators, some from advertising, some from expansion. But then once they take it from those particular areas, then the directors of those areas, in consultation with the general manager, the budget office, and the board, will decide how to change it within that particular service area. So what we as a committee are going to need to be ready to do once the budget is passed is talk to elevator, escalator services, bus and rail services. And we talk to Metro Access and ADAP all the time. So anyway, I've gone well over my 3 minutes, but those are my clue. And this is a great time to lobby everything. But the world does not end after the hearings. Money can still come in from various places. Thank you. Next.
Thanks, Dr. Pelcher. Tino had raised his hand, but he pulled it down. So Tino, unless you have any comments, we can go to the next person. Thomas Mangrum, followed by Fisher.
Yes, this is Thomas. I want to know, when is the first hearing and where is it going to be? Is it going to be on Pennsylvania Avenue or someplace else? Because I need to get some people together before the budget is passed, what have you. So I need to know. When is the first hearing? Do anybody knows that?
Thomas, this is Anu. Just to answer your question, the budget hearing dates and venues are not decided at this point. As soon as that information gets finalized, I will be sharing it with the entire AAC.
Okay. Thank you. And sure. Like for a lot of the people that I serve and a lot of people that I sit as chair over, like what's brought up about the dialysis and the doctor's appointments and stuff like that, I represents a lot of people that this could affect and harm. So I definitely need that information soon as people could get it to me. And then I got to get together a whole lot of people so we can talk and ask for the full funding for Metro, because I don't want to wait until the budget is passed and then we got to figure out something then. So I want to work on it now. Thank
sure,
you.
And Thomas, I'll share the information as it's available.
Thank you, Thomas. I think that's good. That's a good plan. And I think one of the things that you've just brought up, I think, is another key point. Is that for many people who are taking Metro Access, this is a safety net for them. They don't have any other options. We can't get into our cars, as Denise said earlier, and have another option, because there are no other options for those people who can't get on the bus or the rail. This is it. You take away that option, then what is going to happen to them? They're left to their own devices, kicked to the curb. So another thing, you know, I think that you stress is the safety net issue. They don't have many options like everybody else. I think that's important. The other thing that I would stress also is we hear a lot of facts and figures, particularly from Mr. Blake and others, and you hear it on the radio, and you get lots of numbers. But I think the other thing that we need to do after developing maybe two or three other points here is tell a story, because you may not be able to articulate the numbers and the budget numbers and the free trips and the shared rides at 42% going up to 85% or whatever. But what you can tell is your story and how are these cuts going to impact you, because you're the expert in that area. And that's what they need to hear. Fully funded metro, and this is a safety net. The free bus and rail that disabled people get that takes pressure off metro access is saving money. We need to keep that. The $4 fare that we have just achieved over the last 6 months, we need to keep that. We also want to keep the ability to ride. As we cut paratransit, if it gets cut, you're going to see the same cuts with alongside the corresponding cuts alongside the ability to ride. That won't be immune. You can't use ability to ride to make up what's being cut in paratransit. And the other area that is substantial is if your bus runs from 9 to noon and 4 to 7, that's when your paratransit may ride. And so you might have holes in your schedule. What happens then? How do you figure that out? So as Denise has said, and Thomas, you've brought up, it can be very chaotic. And then, of course, you're going to have buses that are going to affect people, and the rail is going to be slower, and it's going to be less. So, you know, we've talked about, someone wrote in the chat, federal funding for metro access. I'm not sure how prevalent that's going to be going forward. We can certainly ask, but you're also talking about a Congress that can't seem to even get the federal budget passed. I don't know that they would take special situations like that, but the federal funding is also another area that has to be pushed, because we need money from the jurisdictions and the federal government. Anu, who is next?
Okay, so we have Debbie Fisher, Paul Semaphore, Vanessa Coles, Steve Caffin, and Sandy Nuzzo. And
I guess I would, you tell me I to shut up then from now on, right? Go ahead.
All right, Debbie, please go ahead. And I don't mean to limit anyone, but in the interest of time. And then we have Tino as well. In the interest of time, I would request for you to please keep your comments.
Also, Rico would like to speak as well.
Okay, Rico is at the end. Thank you. Debbie, go ahead.
Thank you, Debbie Fisher. So I have a question first for Mr. Blake and then one additional comment. Mr. Blake, is this an opportunity for us to try to revisit the whole long-term Medicaid funding approach that Maryland doesn't use or uses in this bizarre way that doesn't really help with funding paratransit, at least for those people who are going into the community through various long-term Medicaid programs?
That has been brought up in by board members and other staff members. I have not, you know, I'm not against it, let's put it that way, but given the overall situation, the amount of available funds, given the limited population, really would not address the core issue that we're really talking about. Number one, while medical trips are very important and a critical part of our service, the numbers we're talking about, we would be putting a lot of effort in, but it would not necessarily change the impact that's potentially going to have with a large number of customers given the current fiscal state of Metro. So while it's certainly a possibility, it's really not the solution for Metro Access or Metro in general, because again, what we're looking at here, and I agree largely with Dr. Posner's outline, but we really are talking about Metro's budget, which Metro Access is a part of, not a separate and distinct budget for Metro Access. So I hear you. And again, others are looking into it. I've provided information for them. I'm not opposed to it. I don't want to say that, but it's not the long-term answer to the shortfalls that Metro is facing.
Okay. That I was just curious about it, particularly because the new head of the DDA in Maryland is the former administrator for the long-term Medicaid, with whom we met at the time and wasn't even interested in talking to us. So I didn't know if that was even worth trying to beat our head against the wall. But I will say, and I will just add that as a talking point in terms of making the requests for additional funds where Metro Access and the Metro is concerned, all people who are involved in long-term Medicaid waiver programs with the new rules that are in effect, people need to be in the community. And access to the community is considered one of the most critical factors for the states continuing to get their funding from the feds to match their service funds. So a restriction and a limitation on access to those, to the community through transportation would create severe compromise to implementing these programs. And again, the states that are involved, all three of the jurisdictions, they get a one-to-one match for all service dollars spent if it's spent appropriately. And the other thing I would like to also add is all these programs require staff, and add to that long-term care facilities, hospitals, nursing homes, rehabs. I mean, the entire medical, allied medical, social service infrastructure depends on our public transportation for staff to move, most of whom move from Peachy County across the entire region. And so a cutback in that has costly financial impacts on people's employment and ability to earn living wages and so forth. So two more things to add.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. Next will be Paul Summerfield. Paul, please go ahead.
All right. So with everyone here, I agree with what you say. The biggest thing I would say is, as a talking point, Patrick, we should have is maintain the service area. This is our safety net. This is our livelihood. Please maintain the safety net. And maintaining the service area as is. The other talking point I suggest that we have is we maintain, we know that fares might possibly go up, but maintain a flat fare. Whatever the fare, if it goes up, we would love to keep the fare as is, but if not, we need to maintain a flat fare. We do not want to go back to where we had in the past in terms of fares, you know, ranging from, you know, one end to the other. The next biggest thing I think we also need to advocate is each of us knows disability groups and people. We need to get into our network and getting people to call people, you know, encourage people in the network who ride the service, explain what's going on to them by word of mouth to agencies and people, have one-on-one conversations starting now, how this is going to affect their livelihood and whether or not they get to be picked up at a certain time of day, where they're going to get picked up from their home to get to work or a medical facility. We really need to hone on that and reaching people now, everyone in our disability network, individually, group wise, whatever, and bring out people to these hearings to speak it loudly and in large numbers and fill these rooms.
And
or
Paul,
whatever it means.
And Paul, when you say service area, you're then also talking about service, the hours of operation too. You want that to be kept, right? As part of service area. You don't want it split up. You don't want the service, right?
Yeah, we want to maintain the service area, including hours of service, and we want to maintain our flat fare.
Mm-hmm. Good. Service area, service hours, and flat fare. Great.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Next would be Vanessa. Vanessa, go ahead.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
This is Vanessa. Thank you. Paul kind of touched on what I was saying. I was just keying into the time and my questions to Mr. Blake. Can you explain to us how that serviceability time frame works, even though a bus route may be there, but that time frame may not be there? Can you explain to us how that is determined?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Good question. And it was brought up, you know, at the last meeting, and there was a real live example of it by one of the customers. Although my colleagues are telling me that's going to be somewhat limited. Again, as they say, the devil's in the details on that. But here's how it works. Let's say you are in the service area. Your DC is not a good example, but let's just pick a location. You're in the service area, and there is bus service. There's a bus stop right in front of your home or around the corner from your home. So that's clearly within the service area. However, if the bus route has been reduced in its frequency, let's say, I'm just using an example. Let's say the route is only morning rush and afternoon rush, but your dialysis appointment is in the middle of the day, is at 11 o'clock. So you normally get picked up at 10 or 10:30. You're in the service area, but if there is no fixed route service, no bus or train within 3/4 of a mile of your home, Metro Access would not be able to pick you up, even though you're in the service area. So back to the point Ms. Rush was making, in your case, you would not necessarily, just again, using this dialysis example, you would not necessarily have to find a new facility, but you will have to have some changes in your life because your job or whatever you were going to, I'm using dialysis because it's easy, but your job, the time of your job, you start work at 11 or 12, but the bus isn't running between 10 and 2. So now you've got to go to your boss and ask for a new time to work. You have to go to the doctor and ask for a new appointment time for your treatments. That's how it could play out. So it's not just being in the service area, it's also corresponding with the time that fixed route service is available to people who are not eligible for Metro Access. And again, this is the way it always was. Now, I just want to make it clear, until 5 years ago, I took all that away from you. I didn't have to make you worry about that anymore. So it's like a lot of things that are in the past are going to come back simply because of the financial situation. We want to avoid that, but I just want you to be aware that this is the way it was always, until we tried to be more creative and convenient for the customers over the last 5 years.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blake and Vanessa. Next would be Steve, followed by Sandy. Then we have Tino and then Rico.
Okay, thank you. Paul, you said it so succinctly. The two, and then I go through to my comment. It's so simple. Those two talking points that you raised, maintain service and maintain fixed fare. The fare, as Mr. Blake discussed at Metro Access, the fare, there may be a slight fluctuation, but the key is anybody needs to know what they're going to pay in order to budget for their household. And the fixed fare was probably the major achievement of last year. And whatever that fare is going to be, and I think it's probably going to stay where it is, but that's a whole different question. I think those two key points that you raised are critical in the talking points. But let me continue quickly. Ongoing and beginning right now, there needs to be a mindset that the key focus is on maintaining service and maintaining service excellence. For 4 communications besides the presentation at the budget meeting, I always put in that there should be a headquarters department, the senior level department, that looks at major expenditures, even if they've been approved for the year, to determine whether they should be made. Something that we're going to consider in bus rail, Tino, are those big screens, which have got to be extremely expensive and are very difficult to read based upon the pictures that you showed and I showed. And there are other expenditures too. You know, this is a mindset, and I think ongoing, it's very important. Another aspect is ensure the revenue comes in, because I notice that fare readers are being placed in the middle of the buses. That's the last thing that I think Metro wants to do right now, because the gatekeeper, who's really not a gatekeeper, is the only gatekeeper right now that brings in some fares. You give the option to people to board in the middle. It may speed up service somewhat, but it's going to cut into the revenue. And so these are things. I'm going to attend the RAC tomorrow, and this is more appropriate for the RAC. But the mindset needs to begin now to make sure that what Metro spends is on maintaining service and excellence. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Next is Sandy. Sandy, go ahead. And before Sandy, you begin, I just want to confirm that the RAC meeting is going to be scheduled. It is scheduled for today, tomorrow, which is the first Monday of the month. Sandy, go ahead.
Okay, this is Sandy. Thank you. A quick question. Doing the simple arithmetic at the beginning, if Maryland does step up with 150 million, and if that is sort of matched by Virginia and DC, Virginia has, I believe, implied that they would only put money towards Metro if other jurisdictions did. That comes up to 450 million. And that still leaves a $300 million budget gap. So how realistic is this? We want to lobby for fully funded Metro. That's going to take a huge amount of convincing. That's one thing. And then the second thing is, if Patrick, could you explain a little bit more about the 6 jurisdictions in Virginia? Because somewhere I read that even though Metro only serves a very small geographic area of Virginia, the whole state has to vote to fund Metro. So I'm confused. Maybe I misunderstood that in a news report.
Sandy, I am confused, and I should know better. My understanding, and someone from Virginia, please correct me. I think the money coming from Virginia has to be voted on by the jurisdictions. So you've got 6 jurisdictions that are going to vote money to do sort of what, let's say, what Maryland did, voting the 150 million this year. And I think it's 200 million next year and 250 million the year after that. That's good. I don't see anything from DC, and I haven't heard any money coming in from from Virginia, either from, and I don't know if that money's matched by the state, Sandy. I just don't know. So I need help with that. And also, I don't know what the feds are going to do. So I don't have any of those numbers. So you're right. You end up with, if you end up with 350 or $400 million deficit, then that's going to, and that's going to be cut, let's say. Then there's going to be that corresponding cuts from let's say metro access, and we'll have to suffer the decline in buses and the decline in rail. The problem is going to be once you start cutting the system, people are going to lose confidence in the system too. And getting that back is going to be hard. Perhaps that's another thing to also Paul and others. Once you cut the system back to ADA minimums or ADA required, I'm sorry, ADA required, and you d start doing all this, asking for more in the future is going to be much harder, twice as hard, three times as hard. So we need to fight now for that. But
That is a good talking point. So is your understanding of the six areas in Virginia, is that like at the county level or is that
yes,
in regions
right.
of the state?
I believe county level, correct. Anu, Mr. Blake in Maryland.
In Virginia.
I mean, I'm sorry, in Virginia. Yeah.
Chair, she
Fairfax, Arlington,
Well,
Loudoun.
in Virginia, the individual jurisdictions fund Metro with a portion, I believe, also from the state, but I believe it's largely the various individual jurisdictions that fund the Metro services in Virginia. In Maryland, we have the two counties, but all of the funding is coming from the state. And in DC, of course, it's the District of Columbia government.
And my thinking also, Mr. Blake, we've got about what, 50 days? We've got January, some of it, and February. And one of these jurisdictions in Virginia gonna pony up the money. I haven't heard anything so far. How do
I
you
haven't
make
either.
yeah,
I haven't
yeah.
either. I know our colleagues in government relations are working night and day, and they've done a heck of a job in informing the jurisdictions and all of them, quite frankly. Maryland did come pretty quickly with the 150 that you all have mentioned this evening. And to be clear, and I know Metro and myself and others were all grateful for that. I don't believe that was the total amount we were looking for, but that's a great amount they came through with. But I think the push is to just continue to focus. And I hear the question loud and clear, and I hear the idea of, hey, even if they all three come up with that amount, that's not even. That's just half of, that's just a little more than half of what we're asking. I think what we're asking for in terms of if you're going out to advocate at these hearings, the community should remain focused on the overall number, the big number.
Right.
And if it falls short of that, oh well. But I don't think the community should at this point already be willing to give in and say, hey, we'll just take this amount. I think you should stay focused on the big number and let's see how things play out following your advocacy.
Okay, thank you. And I think that Patrick brought up another good po talking point. If we don't meet the full funding, it has long-term ramifications for the whole system as well as for Metro Access, sort of spiraling down, and it's hard to build it back up again.
Believe somebody called it the death spiral. Sounds like Star Wars.
All right, thank you, Sandy. Next would be Tino, followed by Rico Dancy. So Tino, go ahead.
Yes, when Thomas Mangrum asked when the hearing is, Thomas, were you referring to the hearings by WMATA? Because actually, the more important hearings are in Maryland, in the District of Columbia and in the Virginia jurisdictions. They're the ones who hold the purse strings. If we just wait for WMATA's hearings, WMATA might be left with, you know, whatever little bit they have. And what they have is dependent really on the hearings in Maryland, in the jurisdiction of Virginia, and in the District of Columbia. That's why I wrote and I shared my letter and the response from the appropriations chair at the Maryland House of Delegates. That's why I wrote with him. We have to deal with those jurisdictions because they hold the purse strings. They're the ones who ultimately give to WMATA. If we wait for a hearing by WMATA, it'll be at a reduced a level if we don't pressure the state of Maryland, Virginia, and Virginia jurisdictions, and the District of Columbia to match what we really need. Now, I'm really surprised that you don't understand that we have to go to where the purse strings are now, not wait until WMATA has a budget which is shrunk because we haven't done our job. Thomas, were you referring to the WMATA hearings? Anu didn't know when they were, but the more important hearings are being held in Maryland, in Virginia and its jurisdictions, and the District of Columbia. You should all be focused, as I've tried to be, on those people who hold the real purse strings, not what's left over and given to WMATA whenever it holds its hearings. Please, do you all understand that the purse strings are not held by WMATA? WMATA's left holding the bag after others make their decisions. Now, fortunately, it seems that Maryland is willing to cough up more. One of the reasons why I was hoping that our WMATA budget experts who spoke to us a couple months ago would come to this, so we know what proportions have been allotted in the past by Maryland, by Virginia and its six jurisdictions, by DC. If we know what the proportions are and say we get Maryland to cough up 150 million or 200 million, then let the proportion that makes for Maryland be matched by the proportions to be decided by Virginia and its six jurisdictions and DC. We're missing the ball if we wait for WMATA's hearings. I'm surprised that you don't understand that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Next would be Rico Dancy. Rico, go ahead.
Yes, two questions. The first question, we need to reach out to Charles Allen's office. He's the chairman for tramitation, War 6. And that number is 727-8072. He's the chairman of tramitation in the District of Columbia. And the second question I have is, when they have these hearings, will they provide an ASL interpreter access?
Are you referring to?
And if they have a hearings, do we have to? I'm going to reach out to Gallaudet. I have a close relationship with them. If they have these hearings, then do they already have a plan for ASL interpreter there, or do the person have to call and request one? So I just want to clarify this. What is the process of citizens want to come to a hearing, want to speak? I'm just curious about this. Thank you.
This is Anil. Rico, are you asking about what Metro's budget hearings?
Yes, and make sure everyone contact the chairman, Charles Allen office. He is the chairman of transportation. Okay. So he has to make the final decision, give it to Mayor Bowser, give it to the head chairman of city council. So I'm having a meeting with him on tomorrow. I'm going to raise these issues with him. And can someone tell me why Ramallah on the director side do not have no one who have a disability sit on the director side? Why have no one point anyone for eye issues and eye concerns? Why have no one done that? And what would it take before that happened?
This is Anil, Rico. So to answer your question about Metro's budget hearings, yes, there will be American Sign Language interpreters available at the budget hearings. When the budget hearings are finalized, the dates, timings, and the venues, as I always do, I will be sharing that information with the entire committee as soon as it gets finalized. We still have some time in that process. So that's the reason no one has that information at this point. But as again, as it gets finalized, everyone will get that information. Okay. Dr. Posner, I see your hand is up. Go ahead and make your comments. And then it's 6:37, Chair Sheehan. We are a little past our, we're running behind our schedule. So would you like to take Dr. Posner's comments?
We'll take Dr. Posner as the last question, and then we will
go to public comments.
And I just want people to know that during the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting this month, we will continue this same topic and conversation with a significant portion of time during that meeting. So it will not go away. Do come back in 2 weeks at my subcommittee meeting, and we will have this further discussion. And please bring more people for comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank Dr. Paul. Posner, go ahead.
Yeah, just to answer Tino's question, the funding from each jurisdiction is determined by formula based upon service to that jurisdiction. So Arlington has the lowest contribution because they have their own Metro Access service. Maryland comes from Annapolis. So Montgomery County and Prince George's County comes from there, and it's based upon the service that they get from WMATA. And the same thing is true of DC. So that's how people know what's going on. And that's why there has been a push by jurisdictions other than Arlington to develop their own Metro Access, because that's the largest chunk of money from the jurisdictions. And the compact was amended so that there is a 3% cap on increased contributions each year. And what we're asking the states for, even though the money is coming from Arlington and from Alexandria and from Fairfax, they need permission from the state to go up more than 3% above what they gave last year. And in Virginia, everybody's tax money goes to Richmond, and then it comes back to the jurisdiction that collected it. So that's why we lobby the state legislature in all those places, because they hold the strings on the local jurisdiction's budget and what's available. So hopefully that answered your question, and I'll let the other folks speak. Thank you.
But that has to be done now, and not wait until WMATA is left with whatever they finally get from the jurisdictions.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I sent you the email of the town hall where you could talk to all the state legislators. And you have already talked to the Maryland legislators.
You know, Phil, I understood that. And I thought the rest of the committee understood that. But it doesn't seem so. They're going to wait until WMATA has its hearings with whatever funds are given by the jurisdiction. They haven't thought about approaching the jurisdictions themselves. And it's about time we do that now.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Tino. Anu, I think we need to move on to
our
next agenda item.
Okay, so we will begin our public comments section. We have received a few comments in the chat. I have responded to the writers stating that those comments will be referenced in the meeting minutes in the interest of time. They are on record because they are on chat. So we will reference them in the meeting minutes rather than reading those out loud at this point. So going with the people who have raised their hands, and just a reminder, everyone will have 3 minutes. In the interest of time, and because we have several people who want to make comments, every speaker will have maximum 3 minutes. I do not want to end up muting everyone, so I would request everyone to please stay in your time limit, because we would like to get comments from everyone. Everybody who's joined has taken the time to join, and we want to give everyone their time. Okay, so I do appreciate your cooperation. Starting with Janice Samuel, next would be Regina Lee. Then we have someone on the phone, and their last four numbers are 3298. So Janice, when you start speaking, I will start the timer for 3 minutes.
Thank you, Anu. I had 2 points that I wanted to raise. As been said by Mr. Blake, we need full funding, and Sandy has mentioned that it will be difficult for us to go back and regain confidence or even more funding for Metro, because right now we have things that we wanted to do that would cost more money, so we don't want things to be cut. But do the powers that be understand that when you cut a service line, you're not, so if you wanted to go to point A to Z and you cut the service from R to Z, you're not just cutting that, you're going to cut everything. The person isn't necessarily going to come in and get on to, you know, the bus or rail. So you're going to overall cut the service. So you're going to lose a lot more service than just that little bit or what, however amount of time or service line. So I don't know if everyone understands what I'm saying, but it's going to be a larger impact to Metro Bus and Rail than just the hours, because, you know, people are going to do other things. They're going to find another way because they have to do these things in their lives. And the second item I wanted to mention was, as Denise said, from April or May or whenever to July is not sufficient for people to make adjustments in their lives. If in the worst case scenario, these budget cuts do go through, can we request that no service changes be made until like December or March, and services stay in effect to give people time to make adjustments to their work schedules, dialysis, whatever, to their lives. So those are my two comments.
Hey, thank you, Janice. Next would be Regina Lee. And I also want to say that Regina, Ms. Lee had sent us an email. So Ms. Lee, we have your comment, and those will be referenced in the meeting minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you have those. But I actually want to talk about the beginning of the meeting. You all were asking for talking points. And I have 3 talking points that I think need to be addressed immediately by these committees. First, you need to schedule earlier dates for the public comments in each jurisdiction. You can't be waiting, like Denise said, until March or April. These meetings need to be scheduled immediately so that people can get their comments and the WMATA board can know how people feel about these cuts, if they're going to happen. My second talking point is WMATA, all of Metro, I don't know how you all want to call it, everyone that rides bus, rail, and Metro Access, you all have their phone numbers, you have the email addresses. I mean, talking to the newspapers, telephone, I mean, talking to the newspapers or putting them in the news, you all need to directly contact each of these people. If you have their numbers, their phone numbers, or their emails, contact them immediately. Tell them what's going on, because everybody doesn't look at the news. Everybody doesn't listen to the radio. So if you all are not directly contacting these people, this is what needs to be done. And I don't know if you all want to set up a phone tree or whatever, but that's something. I mean, Mr. Blake responded to me saying that people are contacted, but they're not being contacted directly like that. And that's what needs to happen. My third talking point is, I have a few suggestions for a funding stream. My first suggestion is the same way that, let's say, for example, that Ticketmaster charges a service fee for every ticket you purchase, then some of that, a portion of that, a percentage of that fee needs to go into a continuous Metro fund. That way it won't affect anybody's pockets and it'll be a continuous stream of funding. My second suggestion is that, I don't know if you all know, but in 2012, our governor of Maryland imposed a rain tax that all homeowners had to pay. And it covered 10 counties in Maryland. That rain tax was a percentage of the rain that fell on your sidewalk, your patio, your roof. Okay, if nobody knew about it and you were paying it, then the same way that happened, then there needs to be some kind of tax that doesn't affect anybody's pocket. Thank you. Those are my suggestions.
All right. Next person we have is on phone, and the last four numbers are 3298. If you would unmute yourself when you start speaking, I will turn on the timer for 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. First of all, I just want to say to Mr. Blake, thank you so much for all of your efforts and everything that you do and try to do for our community with regards to Metro Access. Thank you so much. And I do have a question. Just wanted to know, in addition to what was already said and so forth, and there are going to be certain of us who are Christians, we're going to be praying because this is going to take prayer. But is there anything else that we could be doing to help this matter? That's all I want to know.
Well, if that was for me, well, first, thank you for the comments, kind comments. But if it was for me, I would just say continue to work together. You're hearing passion from Patrick, from Dr. Posner, from Tina, and from, I just heard, Regina. So, yeah, everybody, I think, is passionate about this. Sandy, everybody, I don't want to miss a name, but I think you all have heard, speak to your local officials. And you could do that sooner rather than later, as some have advised, and also participate, because what's going to be on the record, because when you, and I will say this, and I'm not disagreeing with anybody, speak to everybody. Speaking to local officials, absolutely. But please don't let that, and I don't think they said this, but don't let that be in lieu of participating in the hearings, because the testimony in the hearings is what's going to be a matter of official record. And so that's very important to speak about it, talk about it, reach out, but don't allow that effort or those important efforts to then not have you participate in the hearings where your comments will be on the record and as a matter of record from here on out.
And I would just add, Mr. Blake, that speaking to your stories with your network, with your people, they're the ones that know how this will impact them. They're the experts. And that's what the stories they need to be able to tell, because that really is going to be what is going to impact the board members or the officials that you talk to, as Tino said, because all of them are getting the technical information as far as costs and figures and all that. But they don't have your stories. So being able to give your stories will help. Thank you.
Okay, and quickly, what's the final amount? What's the amount needed?
$750 million.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and next member of the public we have is Rev Ray. Go ahead and unmute yourself, and when you start speaking, your 3 minutes will begin.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Right. Good evening, everyone. How you doing, Patrick? My name is Reverend Ray Razor. I'm on the staff. I'm the constituent services on the staff of Councilman Calvin Hawkins. And we had a lot of people in Prince George County. We had a lot of constituents calling us concerned about this. So he asked me to get on this meeting tonight to get some understanding. And one of the things the constituents called about was wanting to know, what is the service area? Who decides what the service area is? Also, and two is, as Sister Rush said, about when people are going to know that they're going to get, they're going to be the ones on this list. And the other thing is, some of our constituents heard about that Maryland has put in $150 million, and these other jurisdictions, if they don't put or match it, do Maryland get preferential treatment for their $150 million? And so how is that all determined? So, Mr. Blake, I say to you, as Councilman Hawkins asked me, then what is it? He understands the $700 million, and like I say, he's on the county side. And he wanted to know then, what is the next step that, if Maryland put in their $150 million or $200 later on and all, but they will be meeting with the governor again this week. And I kept Metro Essex to work every day. So that is a direct concern to him, how that would affect me coming to work every day. So Mr. Blake, how is the service area decided? And is it based on how much money each jurisdiction put in that would be served or not served, or limited served?
Well, Reverend Ray, those are great questions. Let me start with the one I think you asked, and I think is very important and critical. Maryland puts up a portion of its money, and what do the other jurisdictions do? Or let's put it this way, does the jurisdiction that put up the greatest portion of its requested share get preferential treatment in terms of remaining services? I think that is a great question. And working for a councilman, you understand the political process. Yes. And I think that's something your office and others should continue to articulate. Let's put it that way. I can't answer that question right now, but I think that's a key critical question in this whole process. The service area, real quick, because I don't want to take up all the time. The current Metro Access service area was set based on the fixed route services, bus and rail services that were available. And this started in 2010, where they fixed this service area to where there is bus and rail service. So if rail service or bus service expands, such as the Silver Line, the service area expands with it. If bus or rail service shrunk, like they eliminated some bus routes, then the Metro Access service area shrunk. 4.5 years ago, I put out there, hey, let's try something different. Let's allow bus and rail to do what they have to do to be efficient, but let's leave the Metro Access service area where it is. And thankfully, my bosses and the board and others allowed that to happen. So as I pointed out, you all have been inoculated, if you will, or protected from any changes in the bus and rail service in the fixed route. I mean, the Metro Access service area has remained in place now for just about 5 years. And I think that's a great thing. I'm really happy about that. But the service area, if we don't get the full funding, will be decided by where is their bus service, where is their rail service, and what time do those services run. And Metro Access will run within 3/4 of a mile of those areas and the same times that those services are available. And just so you know, Reverend Ray, that's not, quote, well, that's a decision we're making, but that's the language straight out of the Americans with Disabilities Act. That's the basic minimum. And of course, we've been gone way beyond the minimum now again for 5 years, but that's how it will be judged. So again, I think the point you first raised, though, is the critical one. We want all the money. As I've been saying, the advocates should not begin to settle on a lower number. You should advocate for the full funding of Metro because that benefits everybody, Metro Access customers, as well as those. And I know Ms. Rush said if they cut a bus route, the folks can just get in their cars. Well, we know that's not the reality for everybody. And there'll be a lot of people cut off from fixed route service. And how would they get around if there is no Metro running? And that's why I'm focused on the bigger picture. So let's continue to advocate for all of the funding. But Reverend Ray, in your role in advising and working for an elected official, I think the discussion of priority based on who has put up the money, I think, is a very, very fair and important conversation also to have.
But just one last comment. So when I go back to the councilman tomorrow to report, two things. One, what is it I need to say to him? And two, someone mentioned about PG County, and this is our concern. And Janice Samuel lives in PG County. She knows how many people use Metro Access. Rush lives in PG County. And someone mentioned it. And we realize in PG County that a lot of people depends on Metro Access. And unfortunately, going to the dialysis. So what is it that I should say to my councilman tomorrow when he say, you know, what we need to do?
Need to get the folks out, because obviously, and here's a case, here's a perfect example. Folks don't need to call the legislator, in this case, your councilman, because he's on it. He has staff members attending this meeting. At this point, your office should be encouraging all of your constituents who rely on Metro services, be it Metro Bus, Metro Rail, or Metro Access, to be prepared to attend the Metro public hearings on our FY25 budget.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you, Patrick.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend Ray. Next would be Ms. Rowe. Ms. Rowe, please unmute yourself. And when you start speaking, I will turn the timer for 3 minutes.
Hello. And thank you. I have threefold questions because I'm one of the original OGs. I've been riding Metro Access all 31 years. So I've seen all of the changes. And every time we change the budget fiscally, Metro changes their slogan, if you notice. And one of the things they talk about is Metro has one of the most accessible transit systems in the nation. And that may be true, but it's not going to continue to be that if the fixed route is cut and service hours are cut. That's why fully funded Metro is important, because I can remember when Metro didn't run late hours. And because Metro runs late hours now the way that they do, I'm able to hold down not only a full-time job, but a part-time job. And I would like to go forward with what everyone else mentioned earlier. Advance notice is needed for the hearings, because we really need to get the word out. And it's not like y'all can't do it. For example, there are some calls going around now where they're having Metro Access customers do a survey. And so the same way you're calling people to do this survey is the same automated calls you all need to be doing for this hearing way in advance so that everyone knows that doesn't have access to the news or the radio and word of mouth. The hearings themselves should be a campaign to get the word out. And it's important that we continue to compete as one of the most accessible systems in the nation, because when I look at Pennsylvania, specifically Philadelphia, for example, where their accessibility services and their Metro Bus and Metro Rail run 24 hours, and they still have Uber Wave like we do here, it's because the advocates got out there and they advocated and the world got out. And so we need to keep that going if we're going to keep Metro fully funded, because we can go to our bosses all day long, but some people can't afford to make those adjustments. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rowe.
And can I just say one thing? And I think, because I hear Ms. Rowe, Ms. Regina sent me a letter yesterday, and I see Ms. Twyla comments. I'm going to make a commitment. Generally, we have not done the robocalls to the customers ahead of board hearings for a variety of reasons. One, as I point out, I protected you from most of the changes in the past anyway, so we didn't really have to. But also, we don't want to look like we're piling on per se, and I got to be real careful in my limited role. But I think I'm going to make a commitment tonight, and I haven't done a robocall in a while, and you all are used to my robocalls when it's severe weather or something. Once I know for certain the public hearing dates, I'm going to make a commitment to send out a robocall to the customers of Metro Access within the rules and the realms that I'm allowed to do so. I'll make that commitment to you all. I've heard you loud and clear. Heard Regina last night in the email. I heard others. I'm going to make that commitment to at least for sure do my part to look into my rights and responsibilities and ability to make that sort of broad outreach. Because, of course, I could do it with just a quick click of the mouse. It can be done. So I've heard you loud and clear. You have our commitment to look into this as soon as the dates are known.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Blake. Ansel Torres. Mr. Torres, if you would unmute yourself. And when you start speaking, I will start the timer of 3 minutes.
Hello. Good evening. There's an old joke that goes, they're liars, they're damn liars, and they're statisticians. I'd like to change that a little bit. They're liars, they're damn liars, and then there's WMATA. I say that because there is no honesty in budgeting. We in the disabled community are being riled up to go rescue the Metro budget. And we at Metro Access, we who use Metro Access, are being asked to go and beg and plead, come save us, the disabled people, but we want total funding for WMATA. I see that as a disabled community being used again to fundraise for WMATA. It is a sick and cynical thing that has been done by many organizations going through time. And I don't believe in any of this. And I believe if Metro wants to be honest with the disabled and honest with Metro Access, they need to let us go. I want to call this year for Maxit, Metro Access exit from WMATA. And I say that because they are siphoning off 30% of the Metro Access budget to use within WMATA, and we don't get the benefit of it, and we get substandard service as a result of it. Case in point, those ugly, miserable, poorly designed vehicles that they're now rolling out for transportation at Metro Access. And I'm also concerned that there are many people on the committee who are talking about the budget, but many of them are just talking about what other people have told them. They haven't actually read the budget, but yet they're representing me. I'm supposedly advocating for money. How can you advocate for me if you don't know the details of what's going on in the budget? We need honesty in budgeting. We need it now. We need it especially now. Because if Metro was actually interested in saving money, if that was the real concern, there would be a heck of a lot more abilities ride services available in the system. Okay, so let's stop playing games. You're not really trying to raise money. Yes, you're not really concerned about money, because if you were, there would be a lot more savings going on. And there's a lot of ways to save money at Metro that is already in place, but they're just not using it. So I don't believe any of this.
We had 3 minutes, I know.
Yeah. Well, hello. Everybody else, especially the members, got on and they used more than their 3 minutes. And you didn't say anything. It's only when Ansel Torres is talking that you want to clamp me down in 3 minutes? Just knock it off already. And don't tell me about rules, because you, Mr. Chairman, you don't follow the rules. You're an illegitimate chairman, and you're trying to impose. Don't ask me to follow rules that you and the committee are not following. Thank you very much. I am now finished.
I would just add a response. I mean, we appreciate the comments. I did major in economic and statistics, so maybe, you know, I take a little personal. But no, everyone has a point of view. I get it. And I hear what others are saying. We don't believe it. I would just say, you never heard me come to you, as I've said in the past, following my colleagues in the budget and their presentations. I'm letting you know this year is different. I would not take the approach that this is a bluff or anything like that. We're talking about, and I appreciate the references, because a lot of folks, you know, there's an old saying in the world, failure is by itself and success has thousands of mothers and fathers. And I love when I hear my colleagues at Metro talk about Abilities Ride and members of the public talk about Abilities Ride. It is my pride and joy. It was from a lot of learning from other agencies. Ladies and gentlemen, Abilities Ride is not the end all be all. It is not. And that's from me who created it and learned the lessons. I cannot put everybody on Abilities Ride and ensure that everyone's civil rights will be protected. That is not what this was intended for. It was never designed to replace Metro Access. Please. I'm telling you, I mean, you could advocate for what you want and however you want to do it. But if you believe that Abilities Ride is the end all be all from the creator, it's not. And it was never intended to be. And it's not going to be, because it is not a civil right. It is a promotion. It's a lottery ticket that people can win on a day-to-day basis. And it's only the pick three lottery. It's not the big lottery that somebody won in Michigan yesterday. It is not the end all be all, folks. Do not look at it that way. It does not generate. I'll leave it at that. It's not the end all be all, but I appreciate and I love when folks talk about it in a positive way. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Now, I know that we have, we wanted to get.
I don't mean to interrupt, but Ms. Rush has her hand up.
Okay. And then I'd like to finish the roll call.
Yes. Thank you.
Roll call vote. We'll see what we have as far as
time
left for our other item.
Okay. This is Denise Rush. I do not understand when we're at the cliff of getting enough money to keep everything running. We then have some buses that we have added to move around 24 hours a day in the middle of the storm, and people are using them and glad, but then they're going to be taken away. I don't understand how you even started that 24-hour bus line to give them a little taste of honey and then snatch it away. I don't understand that.
Well, that is bus. I will defer to them, but I will say this, Ms. Rush. I look at it a little differently. When you're running an organization this size and in a region that's growing like this region is, you're always in go mode. You're always in forward mode until there is no money. But I will say this. I'm very happy that bus has initiated 24 our service, at least in one part of the service area, because what does that show us? Who had 24-hour service for a couple of years now? Metro Access. So yeah. Metro Access, you all have led the way. You all have shown that round-the-clock service can be feasible if done right and is clearly beneficial to people. So if bus wants to, in a sense, I don't think they're doing it to replicate us, but the fact of the matter is they're doing something that we've been doing now for a couple of years. We should be proud of that. And again, the advocacy, believe me, I'm advocating internally all the time. The advocacy should be for a fully funded Metro, because those overnight shifts are not just people who are not eligible for Metro Access or not eligible or don't have disabilities. Those bus routes benefit everyone. And Metro Access has led in that regard in this region. And with our colleagues following suit, we like that and we want to continue that. And so instead of it being taken away, your voice externally, folks like myself internally, we want to keep it for everybody. And we want Metro to continue to follow Metro Access's lead in certain things, because it makes it better for everybody.
Okay, well, you know that possibly 9,000 customers may be affected if we don't get what we need. Is there any way that you can at least contact them and say, we are not giving you official notice, but your area that you travel may be affected. At least they can, their head is pointed in the right direction, even though it's the wrong direction. There's no way that they can't, you know who the people are who may be affected. Mm-hmm. And can a letter go out to them, or you possibly may be affected? This is not an official notice. This is a heads up. Thank you.
No, you're right. And again, I've heard the message loud and clear. Let's get the process finalized, and you all will be hearing my voice because we haven't had any snow in the last couple of years, so you haven't heard me on these robocalls lately, but you'll be hearing a lot of calls from me in the next few weeks once I get the official clearance and understanding again where the line is for me to communicate and how do I communicate notice of this type.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Blake and Ms. Rush. Rico, I do see your hand up. I do need to finish the roll call of the committee members. So let me do that, and then we can come back to you if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. So I will resume the roll call from where we left off. Debbie had given her attendance as well as Marcy. Next would be Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum. Thomas was, in case.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Philippa Mazzell?
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsom?
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner?
Still here after all these years.
Thank you. Doris Ray? Denise Rush?
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore?
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan?
Patrick, you're muted. Pat, you're muted.
Patrick, here. Thank you. Kelly Simona? And Philip Weintraub? Philip Weintraub had actually informed that he will not be able to join this during this meeting. All right, Chair Sheehan, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. All right. Rico, do you have a comment to make? And then I see Michelle, Lindsay, and Philippa. Rico, go ahead.
Yeah. Wow, this is like, it's going to affect a whole lot of folks. People who got jobs, people on everyday life. I mean, I just not understand what are these people supposed to do when it affect them? People go to doctor's appointment, hospital, I mean, food shopping. This is going to affect... I'm trying to figure this out right now. What are, when this affect all these disabled people in Maryland, Virginia, and DC, what do we want to do? I'm trying to figure it out, Mr. Blake. Can you help me with that one? If they cut this, affect these people, I mean, you talk about doctor's appointment. If they get money to build a stadium, they get money for this. I'm just a little confused here.
He's unhappy, but he's been riding. It's free.
I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. I have no comment on stadiums at this time.
And I think what we do is we advocate, so we don't have to get to a point where we need to answer that question. What are they going to do if there's no service? We don't want to get there, so we need to advocate so we don't get there.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Rico. Michelle Lindsay, go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. I'm still scratching my head. I'm just thinking that by July, I might be out of a job. I'm visually impaired, and I'm a CNA. Going in to ask my employee for maybe adjusting times will not work. Working with a client is a client that gives the time that they need the service. And I live in a community where the buses only run on peak services, so I know I'm going to be greatly affected. I'm really worried. I'm really worried. So
that is exactly the kind of story that the board needs to hear.
Thank you.
With the same passion that you just gave it, because it is personal to you.
Yes.
And you don't have another option.
No. And for the Metro Access bus not to service me because of the bus not running in my area at a certain time, it's going to take too much from me to maybe take a cab to go meet a Metro Access bus to take me. So and so, it's going to be too much.
And so your stories about personal impact are what is going to resonate with this board.
Right.
So,
okay.
So please call in when the hearings are there.
Definitely, I will. Thank you, sir. And if you can
show up personally, it's your story is very impactful. Particularly thank since you. You're trying to give service to other people. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Lindsay. Next is Philippa. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great.
I've been listening to it, and I'm just going to add my voice to the chorus. I just think this concept is absolutely absurd, that someone who may need dialysis because now they're not 3/4 of a mile from whatever would have to go take something to get to a pickup point to go get their dialysis, come back, be dropped at the pick drop off point, and then try to get back home. This is absurd. This is obviously designed to enrage us. But if it gets people out there to speak up, then that's fine. I'll be with it. I'm with that. You know, but I just, the whole concept is just absurd. That's all I have to say. It's just, I'm disgusted. That's absurd.
Okay. Thank you, Philippa. Chair Sheehan, we do not have any other hands up at this point, and we are at 7:21. Did you want to perhaps take the bus and rail and metro access subcommittee reports? And
right. I think if we can give those maybe 3 or 4 minutes each, I think we can wrap up. There will be more discussion on this topic at both the bus and the rail meetings coming up on the succeeding Mondays from 4 to 6.
And especially at Metro Access.
Very good. So there's more to come, and we will do this again in February. But Paul, we're running far behind on our bylaws discussion, but this is very important tonight. Go ahead, Paul. We'll put you up first, and then Tino, you can have the last word.
So I'm going to make this short and sweet. At the subcommittee level, we got a glimpse, well, no, not a glimpse, but a full detail of the doomsday budget in December, what it looks like as we discuss it even in deeper discussion today, and what we need to do. We also got a report from Mr. Blake that I think it's like every 5 years, there's a request for a proposal for that has to be put into bid for different providers, for those who administer the call center and those functions, street service, and for quality assurance. Those three core groups are up again for it could be some of the same faces. Everyone's going to recompete. It is our hope that through that process, Mr. Blake, if I'm saying everything correctly, that we also during that process address some of any deficiencies that were noted, especially if we're getting some of the same people who are putting up a request for a proposal to compete for those different parts of the contract again. What can they do better to serve us? That's what I would emphasize. Go ahead, Mr. Blake. I see your hand up.
Yes, I just wanted to follow up. You said it right.
Because I remember there was one point I think before you came to Metro, when one particular, I don't want to say who, contractor had most pieces of the service, and there was public comment on it very broadly at the old WMATA building, and when this came up, process came about, and a lot of customers were emphasizing, you know, if you're going to bring on the same people again, what are they doing better?
No, I'm with you, and I think that's going to be an important conversation. And you know, I'm going to be having that conversation as well with the. I don't think we're going to go back to just one company having everything, but it's possible. But what I wanted to share, the only reason I raised my hand because it was brought up at the last meeting. And now I can't officially say this goes back to the abilities ride, not to counter myself, but you all are aware that Uber is part of it, along with several taxi companies. Well, beginning in probably March, Lyft will be added to the program as
yes,
well.
Yes, Lord. Just mentioned that. Oh, I'm sorry. I should give an opinion. No problem. We got some options now. The reason I say adding Lyft would be of greater benefit, and I think Mr. Blake will piggyback on that one, is the fact that when Uber, you know, those who are assigned to that service for a variety of reasons, when it comes back that no vehicle is available, we can look at other, you know, providers to make sure people are, you know, picked up, who are, you know, for those who are able to take that service. So that is very pleasant to hear. But again, I'm just going back to emphasizing, Mr. Blake, as you're looking for bidding and looking for new providers for all those three core areas, what are they doing better if the current ones are competing to come back? Particularly, I'm putting emphasis on the call center, you know, in terms of service, in terms of how they service our customers, both on the reservations and the where's my ride in. I'm just putting that out there. Any other questions from anyone else as to those? Ms. Rush, anything to add?
Thank you, Paul.
Or any questions from any committee members?
No, I don't have any questions. It is what it is. Unfortunately, it's disgusting.
His report.
Okay.
Wait.
I'm just teasing you, Denise. I thought his report was good.
Yeah, I would just make an emphasis of we getting better service, particularly with the call center. I'm just asking. That's all on those two and that end. All right.
Good. Let me go over to Tino, if I could. He's got Tino. You've got 3 minutes.
Okay. At our last bus rail subcommittee meeting, Scott Winsley of the Access Board discussed and explained the Access Board's accessibility guidelines. Let's see. Maggie Butler, who's now in charge of our whole division, discuss the electric bus solicitation. And let's see, Sandy Newsel brought up the survey by the US Department of Transportation on access for transit facilities. And that deadline, if I recall, is January 5th, which is coming up shortly. Let me add too that on a couple of points, Scott Windley, who comes from the Access Board, mentioned how important it is when an agency such as his or an office such as our offices of the various legislatures receives letters or telephone calls about matters important to them. Our matter at the moment is the money needed for WMATA's budget, and that money comes from the state of Maryland, Virginia, and six jurisdictions in Northern Virginia, and the District of Columbia. Those are the jurisdictions that provide the funding or will make up for any shortfall in the funding starting July of 24. And Scott Winley said that you have to get out and lobby, you have to advocate for that. And the advocation is with the government of Maryland, the government of Virginia and six jurisdictions in Virginia, and the government of the District of Columbia. I hope you all remember because you all have been just focusing, with the exception of Phil, you all have just been focusing on WMATA's budget later in the spring. And that'll be too late. If Maryland, Virginia, and six jurisdictions and the District of Columbia don't kick in what we need for the deficit, you're going to be talking to WMATA that will have very little funding. And the doom and gloom that they talked about will be real. And all the cuts you've been talking about for 9,000 people, for example, with Metro Access is going to happen.
Thank you, Tina. Let me go to Anu, if we can wrap up. We're okay, almost at that time.
Sure. And I just want to remind everyone that anybody who's looking to submit their public comments can do so before or after the meetings through email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. Chair Sheehan, that concludes my announcement. Thank you.
Thank you, Anu. Appreciate that. Tino, didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to make sure we concluded that. Well, sure. I think we're good.
Yeah.
This is Sandy. Can I just say really quickly, I will send a reminder about that DOT request for comment, and I'll try to get that sent out tonight or tomorrow morning. I apologize. I've been sick for 2 weeks and I didn't get it out sooner.
I hope you feel better.
The deadline is the 5th.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy. Yeah. Feel better. It's at 7:30. Thank you, committee, for a great meeting tonight. Very well done. And audience, too. I appreciate that. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any nay votes? This meeting is adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. A new...